The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to them, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon with the judgment than for you. And as for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will go down to the nether world. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. So once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. You know, all week long, even though I haven't been here all week long, okay, all week long, your first reading has come from the book of Job, the longest treatise in the entire Bible on the crucial question of suffering. And everybody knows the story of Job, or at least I hope you do, right? Job, it's not history. But it's rather an illustrative story meant to make a very important moral point, right? So Job is a perfectly righteous man. He's done nothing but keep the law of the Lord all the days of his life. And Job is the one singled out for every form of human suffering. Job loses everything in life. He loses his family members to sudden and tragic death. He loses his reputation, and all his former friends count him as accursed. He loses his money, he loses his property, he even loses his health. And then there's Job, having hit rock bottom, dressed in rags, covered with sores, sitting on a pile of dung. The one thing Job never loses, he never loses his faith. Never once does he curse the name of the Lord. Never once does he let his trust in God falter. However, when he's finished with all those sufferings, Job's got some select questions for God Almighty, right? And you're supposed to see yourself in Job. Because don't we all turn to the Lord with questions in our hearts and say, "Why, Lord, why?" Right? You're supposed to see yourself in Job. And that's why when God speaks to Job, God speaks to you. Okay. Now, with that as a background, I ask you to consider this afternoon. Consider the shocking lack of sympathy that God shows to Job after all of his questions. Shocking lack of almost antipathy, callous disregard for Job's questions. And Job asks questions to God. He says, "Why do you allow the just to suffer, Lord? Why is it that every good deed is punished? Why do the wicked prosper for all of their wickedness? Where's your justice, Lord?" And God turns around to Job and he says, "You got questions for me, Job? I got questions for you." And this is our first reading. "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? Where were you when I created the dawn? And I gave each of the stars its place in the sky. Were you there when I said to the sea, 'Thus far shall you go and no farther'? Answer me, Job. Answer me if you have knowledge." Callous disregard for a shocking lack of sympathy. And you got to stop and ask why. Right? And I'll tell you why. It's because your Heavenly Father wants you to have peace in the midst of your sufferings. And the only way in which that's possible is if you face the great mysteries of life with a healthy measure of humility for what you do not understand. And that's almost everything. We see nothing but a sliver. of the great mysteries unfolding before us. And without the humility that can acknowledge that, there's no peace. Now, that's not a fully Christian explanation of the mysteries of suffering in human life. And please remember, Job is not really a Christian book. This is Old Testament. The fullest understanding to our questions of suffering and why, well, you're going to have to wait for Jesus Christ to teach us that. However, understand and internalize this message from the book of Job. Without deep humility in the face of the mysteries of life, we're never going to find peace. And our first reading teaches us an important way to learn that humility. Learn to let God ask the questions. You notice Job asks God questions and God turns around and he asks Job questions. Now, you know what you notice? If you go to prayer, you'll discover this to be true. Every time you ask a question of God, if you have ears to hear, you'll find that God asks that exact same question right back at you. You go to God and you say, God, what are you all about? And you'll hear in this answer question in your prayer, God will say to you, what are you all about? Whose will are you trying to accomplish, yours or mine? Who is this all about? You? Whose glory are you seeking? What is it that you want? You want peace? You want security? Don't you realize this whole world is passing away? You're not going to find that here in this passing world. This world makes a lousy home, but a great gymnasium. What is it that you want? You want happiness? You want lasting happiness? Don't you realize this whole world is an incubator? Or better yet, it's a womb. Don't you realize I'm preparing you for the place where real happiness is found? Tell me, what is it that you really want? Is it love? Is it love that you want? Haven't you come to realize that you are too selfish? You know, our relationships are so shallow and fractured and broken, and it's because we're so gosh darned selfish. Love is only possible with self-forgetfulness. And you want to know where that lesson is taught? It's taught in the school of hard knocks. Hence the reason why our Lord allows us to go through so much suffering. But the message of Job, learn to let God ask the questions. It takes a healthy measure of humility. But everybody who's ever found their peace with God through the hardships and injustices of life has learned to stop asking questions of God and to listen as God asks questions of them. Everyone who's ever found peace has turned that corner. So let's turn that corner too. And in the quiet of our prayer and in the depths of our heart, let's ask God for the humility where alone true peace is found. Amen.